We come to Matthew chapter 18 today. And Jesus is dealing with his disciples. He's dealing with character issues on his disciples because they have a desire for greatness. And that greatness that they got reveals character issues and spiritual issues in their lives. The issue of pride and the issue of selfishness. And on this Father's Day of 2018, we're going to take a look at Matthew 18. And the message from Jesus is you can work all you want, but you're going to be great in the kingdom. It's going to come from God. Can I get a witness on that? And so we're going to take a look at the desire for greatness, Matthew 18. And we start off and we realize that kingdom values are different. And I'm telling you right now, it is weird preaching and not open like that. It's like, man, I never do that. And so I'm just trying to catch on up. Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 3 says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Would you say greatest? Greatest. Say greatest.
Greatest.
All right. Just want to hear that. It makes me feel good. Who would be greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called a little child to him, and he placed the child among them. He's got a disciple, the child right in the middle of him, and he says, truly I tell you, unless you change. See, that's being different from last week. When you were weak, you're going to change this week, and you're going to be strong. Can I get a witness on that? He says, unless you change and become like a little children, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus is going to deal with the problem of pride. Now, if you are a fan of the gospel and a fan of the Bible, and if you're not, you can become one. There's some daily reading logs back there, and spend 20 minutes a day and going through and give you a reading for every day, and you can become a student of the Word. And if you're a student of the Word, you will realize, or you already realize, that greatness was a continuing argument among the disciples. And not just greatness, but who would be great. Kind of like an argument on Father's Day. My dad is better than your dad. I'm going to be better than you. And that is an issue of pride. And that is an issue of arrogance. And that is an issue of selfishness and self-focus that the Lord is going to deal with in his disciples. Jesus, as he was transfigured, we took a look at this last week, he is transfigured and shine his clothes like lightning. And at the bottom of the hill, the disciples who could not cast out a demon are arguing who's going to be greatest. You know, when your focus is on self and when your focus is on pride, you're going to lose some of that spiritual power. Can I get a witness on that? The other time we see in the Gospels that they are arguing about who's going to be the best. Who's going to be the strongest? Who's going to be the best looking? Who's going to be wearing the best flower shirt? I know. It ain't even close. It was at the Last Supper. Jesus has washed their feet. Said, he'll be greatest among you, will be your servant. Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? He's talking about, in this cup is my blood that is given for the forgiveness of sin. Here, this bread, this is my body which is given for you. And they're over there, I'm better than you. And they are arguing about who's going to be greatest in the kingdom in the midst of Jesus talking about his sacrifice. And we see that kingdom values are indeed different from the values of this world. Can I get a witness? Are you tracking with me here? Now, we got some dads that say, hey, I don't want to come to church today. It's Father's Day. I'm going to do what I want. I was born on Father's Day. I got a double whammy. You know, I told my wife, beginning of June, I said, it's the month of Bob. And then a couple days ago, I said, it's only been one day so far. We have a joke because January is the month of Lisa. But anyway, Isaiah chapter 11 tells us that it was Satan's pride that caused him to be cast out of heaven. And he, being the prince of the air and the ruler of this world, we see that indeed the world has a problem with pride, and that kingdom values stand in direct opposition to the values of this world. James writes about it, chapter 4, verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And the Bible tells us that if you are going to experience greatness in the kingdom, it is going to come from your Father in heaven. Can I get a witness on that? Now, one thing he talks about, Jesus says, if you are going to be great in the kingdom of God, first thing you got to do is you got to get in. Help me, somebody help me on this. You got to get in. I got it in yellow. I got it in yellow up there. Sorry, I got one back there, so I point back there. But Jesus is talking about end times here. When you receive, if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and many of you have, what we do is we are transformed, we are given new life in him, and we step onto the very edge of the kingdom of God. Now, what Jesus is talking about is end times. When the fullness of the kingdom comes and we move from the edge and we step all the way in, he says, you're going to step all the way in, you have to make a change now. And you got to become like this child. If you're going to get in then, you're going to have to humble yourself now. Talking about making a change. You got pride issues? This week, you need to do some work. You can come in next week the same. You can come in next week worse. Or you can come in next week and you can be better. But if you do, it's because you make a change. Amen? All right, here we go. Verses 4 and 5. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And he says, just Jesus talking, he says that greatness is different in the kingdom. It is different than what you experience. And he's talking to his disciples, and he says that you are going to have to change from your positions of pride, your positions of arrogance, and your positions of selfishness, and you're going to have to move into something that's brand new for you, a position of humility. Jesus is telling them what you got going on. These little arguments that you got going on, they're not cutting it. They're not going to work for you. Matthew chapter 20, Jesus talking, verse 16. So the last will be first, and the first will be last. He says, you want to be first in the kingdom, it will be because God makes you first. Can I get a witness on that part? They say, well, how can they do that? How can this happen? How can we move ahead? He says, you become like a child. And he's talking about a child. He has this child standing right among. Child has a childlike trust. And a child has a childlike faith. And he says, you become like this child, and you put your trust in me, and you put your faith in me, and we'll start talking. Amen? See, you put your faith and you put your trust in Jesus, you're going to be fine wherever he puts you. You're not going to be trying to put yourself ahead. You're going to be looking at him and saying, where do you want me? You're going to look at him this week and you're going to say, what change do you want me to make this week? Can I get a witness on that? See, he says what you got going on right now is not going to work for you. You're going to be great in the kingdom. You have got to get in. He also says, now you want to move ahead. You can welcome people like me. You can welcome people who like me. You can welcome people just like this child. And he's shifting off of talking. He's not just talking about children. But he's talking about people who have put their trust and put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, you welcome my followers because of my name. It is just like you are welcoming me. And you can move ahead into the kingdom. But he says, if you're going to be great then, you're going to have to make a change now. Amen? Lisa's going to talk about her dad made a change in his life.
grandfather and my stepfather. So my parents divorced when I was very young, and so probably 5 or 6. And so I didn't live with my father most of the time. And my dad had, you know, was doing his own thing. He's a good man, but, you know, just kind of doing his own thing, racking up stuff. I was hoping he was going to be here today, but it's just too long a trip. But, and, you know, had the vet and the Harley and the nice house and go on trips. And, you know, that's just his life. And I would pray for him because my mom had become a Christian. But, you know, all those years, and he knew of God. He went to, you know, he went to Catholic school. He knew God, and yeah. I remember him telling me, like, God and I have this understanding. You know, I'm like, well, Dad, if you think you have an understanding with God, but you're not doing it His way, you know, it's a misunderstanding, right? But you know, all those years praying, and the last about 4 or 5 years ago, I just started noticing something in my dad, just talking about things and asking questions. And it's been so amazing. So never give up. Never give up. Like 30 years for praying for my dad and everything. He has come into the kingdom. He has given his life to the Lord. And then instead of the things mattering, like he used to have a nice car and all this stuff, he's really like scaling way down. Like he just keeps cleaning things out. I don't need this. I don't need that. And we were talking just the other day, and it just blesses my heart to have these spiritual conversations with my dad. And he was saying, you know, I just lay in bed sometimes and I wake up and I don't get up, but I'm just talking to the Lord. I'm just talking to the Lord. Every day my dad reads through the Bible things that you guys, every single day. He doesn't put on his phone till 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning because he spends time with God. But he says when God tells him to do things, whether it's to give or to go, to do, to help, he's like, okay, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Father. And I've just seen my dad go from this, you know, man who's like, yeah, you know, I believe in God and I'm there. So many people are like that, right? I believe in God. Yeah, I know. But now to see him surrendered and just obeying and walking in God and just growing. And it just is really such an amazing blessing. He's in the kingdom and he is great before the Lord because he's humble.
Amen. Amen. And I'll tell you, I knew him, you know, he'd lift weights and he'd always be stacked, you know. I mean, wearing these shirts, muscle shirts, you know, he's, I don't know, 20 years older than me, put me to shame. And how old? Probably 15 years older than me. Anyway, all right. So, but anyway, yeah, big change. And he says, you want to be great then, you got to change now. Amen? All right, now we're talking about stumbling. And he says, don't stumble along the way. We'll talk about that. Verse 6, if anyone causes one of these little ones, and he's using that kid as a representation for those who follow him, anyone causes one of these little ones who believes in me to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Because Jesus is keeping score. Amen? There are going to be those who present a problem to you. Word here for stumble is scandalizo, where we get our word scandalous, and it means cause to sin. It means to become indignant, okay? Stumbling. Cause to sin, become indignant, to shock, or to offend. So you think about it, anyone who causes one of my believers because of my name to be offended. Anybody offended by anything they experience on the internet? Anybody scandalized? It's not just kids, anybody who calls upon the name. And Jesus says, there's going to be a day of reckoning for those who are an affront to his followers. And he likens the punishment to having a millstone tied around your neck. Well, that there is a millstone. And what you would do is you would take your wheat or rye or whatever grain that you put there, and you will put it in that bowl. And then you would have a donkey or a son or something. You could just walk around in that circle, and it would grind up your grain and turn it into flour. You tracking with me on that? And he says, rather than scandalize one of my followers, it'd be better to tie one of those onto your neck and go swimming. Kind of a little weight there. A little weight to his words in addition. Amen? He says that those who scandalize my followers are scandalous. And he says, and you might be wondering, well, how could I cause somebody to stumble? How might I scandalize some? How might I offend or be an affront or cause to sin? Well, I have shared many times that I was involved in drugs and alcohol and pornography and gambling. And all of those things I was introduced to by somebody in my life. Just said, oh, let me this. I remember our childhood friend, we went and saw Jaws in the movie theater, in the drive-in. And he had beers. First time I drank beers with him. Derailed my life for 15 years. Scandalous. Scandalous. Those who scandalize the followers of Christ, watch out. See, greatness in the kingdom comes from God. Amen? Amen. Judgment to hell also comes from God. He's talking about that. All right. Bad things are going to happen. He's talking to believers. Talking to you. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come. Bad things don't come. Bad things going to happen. But woe. Woe to that person through whom they come. Woe to the scandalizers. This is watch out. This is a warning to the world. Ramifications are on the way. See, Jesus is keeping score. Jesus is watching for your children and for you. And those people who bring a little bit of weed your way, or if you bring a little bit of weed somebody else's way, taking somebody out to Jaws, just bring a 12-pack. Let me introduce you to something. Let me scandalize you. See, Jesus is bringing a message to the world. Watch out. You're in a bad place you don't even know. See, there's bad stuff that's going on. You won't have any association with it. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. Bible says, I saw the dead. This is the Apostle John relating the vision that he had seen. I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And the books were open, books of life. Another book was open, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according what they had done as recorded. Their scandalous stuff, their acts were recorded. Why? Jesus is keeping score. And so, as somebody has scandalized you, Jesus is noticing that. And if you have scandalized somebody, Jesus notices that too. Now, Wednesday night we were talking about end of Ephesians, beginning of Philippians. A hand went up and said, "How come I'm doing all I can? Last week I put in a lot of effort. How come God doesn't protect me?" She didn't say it this way, but said from being scandalized. Why doesn't God just cut it out? Why doesn't God just stop it? How come I can't get some protection? Can I get a witness on that? You ever wonder that? Well, answer is complicated. Has to do with free will. Now, you want to go in an alleyway and grab a little honey and smoke a little weed? God ain't going to stop you. You know why? Because God, listen to this, God does not want you fighting him. so that you can sin. God is not like the bouncer on the front end of the bar, and you're going, get out of my way, God. I want to get into my sin, and you're in my way. He says, there you go. Think of all the times. People would be, oh, you know, if God wants me to quit smoking, you just better put this out. It's not how he wrote. Can I get a witness on that? You know what? I want to sin. God says, don't do it. But he never stops me from doing it. Can I get a witness on that? Can you track with me on that? Right? And how many times my mom was praying or my grandma was praying? Can I get a witness? You're tracking with me on that. And because he doesn't stop you from sinning, because he doesn't want, he's not going to stop that person who's going to sin against you, who's going to scandalize you, or to scandalize your kids. Wait a minute. God will pay for sin. God pays for sin. He hung on a cross, shed his blood, was mocked and ridiculed to pay for your sin. It's in the Bible. Can I get a witness on that? God judges sin. He is keeping score. And he says, every person that scandalizes one of my followers, woe to them. Ramifications are coming. So he pays for sin. He judges sin, but he does not stop sin. Oh, I wish he did. I wish he would have stopped me from drinking that beer watching Jaws 25 years ago. Would have changed my life. Amen? But he says, I change your life by paying for your sin. Amen? He says, you're going to be great then, you got to change now. He says, all that stuff, Bible tells us, this is even harder. God uses the scandalizing efforts of those people that are around you to form you and to make you more like Jesus. Amen? Say, wait, what? Romans 8, 28, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. I would never be here today I didn't go to Jaws when I was 14 years old. I would have a message for you today if I didn't go to Jaws when I was 14 years old. Amen? God uses everything. And he takes that sin, and he takes that pain, and he takes that scandalism. And he says, I'm watching who's bringing it. But I am big enough to use it in your life so that you can bring glory to me. James says, consider it pure joy when you experience trials of many kinds. Because why? It's developing your faith. It's perfecting your faith. Yeah. So you're going to be great in the kingdom. It's because God makes you great. Amen? Trials come. Move us towards heaven. Lisa's going to share another story.
Now, this one's about my stepdad, though, too. And I shared earlier that there's many things he had to go through. But I remember when he and my mom got married, I was a teenager, and they were very newly married. But my dad was like 49 or 50 years old, and he lost his job. And that was 10 months with no job. And he was pretty new Christian, newly married, two teenagers who were in their own. You know, that's always a nice challenge. But that faithfully going through for 10 months, trusting God when you have nothing. I remember my dad, we ate ragu every single day. And he still ate every single day for most of his life after that too, though. But he but that was the way that we made through. But choosing, even when Pastor Bob was just sharing right now about God doesn't stop you from sinning. But no, because the choice, we make a choice every time. It says, here's, you know, life and live, or, you know, here's death. And he, because he's given us free will, he lets us choose. And sometimes those choices others make harm us, but we still can choose to trust God in the midst of it. And as my dad just continued on, just I remember it. It was low time. It's not like you're always like, woohoo, yay, you know, I'm out of work for 10 months. It was hard times. There was just a lot of things going on. But he said, I'm not giving up. I'm trusting. So keep in the fight. Keep in the, you know, keep your eyes on God and just let him lead you, because he can use all things for good. He can, and that my dad was able then to finish the course all those years later, even through his son's death and all those different things too, to still not turn away from God and just give up. We just continue. We continue on making that choice and continue talking because Pastor Bob's gone. But, you know, so, as he was saying that, I'm going, well, you know, God can, you know, stop, yes, but we choose. We have to all recognize that we choose to sin. We choose to sin. And so, and God wants, he will give us the power to choose not to, but we have to choose. Amen. Amen. So bad things are going to happen, but how you take them. So let's see. All right. I don't know what the next point is, but you know what? But he kept faithful. And look, he kept faithful, and now he'll be on too. See, never give up. It's not over until we see Jesus. Amen?
Amen, amen.
And I want to see him, and I don't want to be ashamed when I see him. Amen?
All right. Hallelujah. God is good. Let's see. JJ, go on my desk. Find my clicker. I think I've set it down over there. Click me ahead, if you would, Danny. I realized I was sitting over there, and my microphone was off. All right, here we go. Verses 8 and 9. It's easy to stumble. Amen? Anybody see, find my clicker? Am I clicking forward in there? Anybody see a clicker? Well, got it, Mike? Underneath your purse? Oh, wait, maybe. Oh. Hallelujah. If you have a wife, you get a good thing. Find a daughter. Find a good thing as well. All right, here we go. We are back on track. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
All right, easy to stumble. If your hand or your foot or your microphone or your clicker, causes you to stumble, cut it off, throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed, or crippled, than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out, throw it away. It's better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into fires of hell. We got to deal with our issues. Anybody think you're going to be able to just slide on your, oh God, I didn't know. Oh, do you think I was joking in Matthew 18? Cut off your hand, cut off your foot, pluck out your eye. Oh, I thought you were just going to forgive me for that pornography. Well, I paid for it. I also judge it. I won't stop it. Grab onto me. You can stop. You got a problem with your hand? You got a problem with your feet? You got a problem with your eyes? See, problem with your hands is what? What you might pick up. Now, easy stuff. Pick up a little booze. Pick up some weed. Pick up some opiates. I don't know what you're going to pick up. You know, hey, some of that list is a real easy list. Can I get a witness on that? Now, for others, it's more complicated. I'm a diabetic. Picking up poison. Piece of pie is poison to me. Can I get a witness on that? And that is a problem for many of us, that we are walking around during the week picking up poison. You want to become great in the kingdom. You want to begin to change in your life. One of the things that you might do is put down your poison. Some of us walking around, we are poisoning ourselves. God says, you want to be great in the kingdom, you got to quit tearing yourself up. Can I get a witness on that? All right, I mean, think about this. What poison? You write that down, right? You got some notes right there. Some of you guys showing each other phones. Take that, put the note thing on there, Emily. Poison. Poison. What are you carrying that's poison to you? what is poisoning to you, and you will come tomorrow morning. You'll be there picking it up. You want to make a change, you got to put down that poison. You might want to wash your hands. I hope you don't have to cut one of them off. Jesus says, you got to cut it off, cut it off. Second thing is your feet. There are some places that your feet are going to take you that you should not go. That's it. Is Lisa there? Or Mike, yeah. You know, easy places. You know where you shouldn't go. Sometimes our feet just got too much go, and we don't have any time for God. This last week, you think, oh, man, I didn't do nothing. I didn't take no time. I didn't take a risk. I didn't do nothing. Why not? I was too busy. I was too busy to make any changes in my life. I was going, 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 going. So you want to make a change, you might need to put down the poison. You might also need to point your feet into an encounter with God. When are you going to take some time for God this week? Well, I don't know. Well, you probably won't make it happen. Every morning, I put that devotion up on the daily reading. Try and do it at 6 o'clock. 20 minutes, change your life. I don't want to change that much. Maybe I got 20 minutes a week. Maybe I got 20 minutes a month. Maybe every other month, 20 minutes. Because I'll just stay scandalous. I just stay the way I am. Last thing he says, what are you looking at? What? What do you see? What are you watching? See, right now, the biggest challenge of some of you is your phone. You can't even not look at your phone right now. You're looking at your email. You're looking at your tweet, your text, your whatever. I'll tell you what, man. We've got pornography riddling our kids' brains. So easy to get to. And I didn't know how it works, but it's like for a couple of pennies, for a view, for an advertisement or something. Poison for your eyes. Poison for your soul. It'll suck your time away so that you don't have any time for God. Better to live without a phone in heaven. Then had unlimited texting in hell. Can I get a witness on that? You could write that down. Better to have no phone in heaven than unlimited texting, unlimited data. Got my Netflix, got my NFL, got my NBA, I got World Cup on my phone. How could you even see the ball, man? Yeah, I mean, got people buying 85-inch TVs, but I got to have my TV on my little 1-inch screen, man. Oh, wow, look at that. Suck your time. Poison for your eyes. Poison for your soul. You want to be great later, you got to make a change right now. Can I get a witness on that? All right, last thing. It's talking about value. Talk about stumbling and value. Matthew chapter 18, verse 10 through 14. See that you do not despise one of those who loves me. For I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go look for the one that wandered off? Of course he is. Where are my sheep? And if he finds it, truly, I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that didn't even wander off. In that same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of you should perish. It's all about value. The Bible tells us God adopts us into his family. Jesus says that he knows the number of hairs on your head. And he tells us a story about how valuable we are to God. tells us the parable of the lost sheep. And this has a different slant than it does in Luke chapter 15, where his desire is that none should be lost to sin. But here he talks about those in his family that wander, those of his followers that have drifted off. And he says that he is concerned when they wander, and he celebrates when they are found. And that, dear friends, is the message of the Master. Amen? Lisa, you want to come up, or Leanne? It's so wonderful to have my daughter. I love that third song, man. How deep the Father's love for us. Oh, man. Father's Day 2018, many of us did not have great fathers. Many of us struggling to be great fathers. Problem is that our view of God is colored by how our fathers treated us. But on Father's Day 2018, I have good news for you. I have great news for you. That if you have humbled yourself like a child, if you have surrendered your life to our Lord Jesus Christ, if you have received his payment on the cross for your sin, that you have a brand new father. And he's the greatest father that there ever was. He is our Father who art in heaven. Amen? Our heavenly Father, he comes and he comes near, and we have to cast off the images of him that are passed through our earthly fathers. We get a glimpse. And he has desire for you. He is not willing that any of you should perish. He's not willing that any of you should wander. And he says, he comes strolling through City Heights this morning. Time for you to come home. He says, I'll make you great. And that's the message of the Master. Amen? Lord, I come to you this morning, and I thank you for my daughter singing. I thank you for my wife teaching. Thank you for the ladies working, but I thank you for your son that hung on the cross. Lord, so that you could see sin, judge sin, and forgive sin, Lord. As you forgave my sins, Lord, and all the sin that came upon me after I looked at that Jaws movie and started a life of sin. I was scandalized, Lord, and I scandalized those around me, Lord, and I humble myself. I come to you as a child, Lord, and I say, oh, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. Lord, you're here in this place this morning, and Lord, there are those that have wandered. Lord, there are those who have scattered from you. Message goes out, maybe to you this morning. My son, my daughter, I've been looking and I've been calling. Time to come home. Time to come back. Time for you to change. Nobody's looking around this morning, but the Lord is speaking right to your soul. He's saying you got poison in your hands, your feet are covered with soil of this world, your eyes are polluted. He says, I will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You got to turn from your wicked ways, put down that poison, set your feet pointed towards me, and I'll make you brand new, I'll make you great in the kingdom. Nobody looking around this morning, God is speaking right to you, and you're freaking out. Say, God, I so want to come home. I so want to change. I so want to be made new. I so want to know you with nobody looking around. God's speaking right to your heart. I just want you to slide your hand up and say, God, here I am on Father's Day 2018. I want to be made brand new. You're here this morning. You want to give your life to the Lord. I just want you to slide your hand up quickly and say, here I am, Lord. I want to be new right here, right here, right here, right here. Somebody else would say, right there, I see you, little man. You guys put your hands down. Somebody else would say, Father's Day 2018 is the day I'm going to change. Didn't put your hand up. God is speaking right to your heart. He's saying, I want you, my son. I want you, my daughter. Time to come home. Time to stop wandering. Stop being scandalized. Didn't put your hand up before, but he's speaking right to your heart. I just want you to slide your hand up and say, that's me this morning. Anybody else? Right here? Somebody else say, that's me? Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Let's stand. Stand before the Lord. Say, God, I'm so messed up. I did that walking down the street in Sacramento. God, I'm so messed up. It was 16 years later. 16 years after I sat in that movie theater, that drive-in theater, drinking my first beer. I said, oh, Lord, I have so messed up my life. Maybe just raise your hands up right now and just say, oh, Lord, I'm so glad. I'm so glad you're in City Heights this morning. I'm so glad that you come near to me, Lord. I'm so glad, Lord. Lord, I want to come home, Lord. I don't want to be alone anymore. I want to be made brand new. I want to change, Lord. I want to change, Lord. I want to put my pride behind me. I'm going to humble myself, Lord. I come before you, a sinner, Lord, and I say, oh, Lord, I want to be made new in you.